I promised you earlier on in the first hour of today's show that I would bring you a chat with Jim Kerr from Simple Minds, a really, really lovely man, an incredible singer-songwriter and a very funny soul, as I discovered when I chatted to him a few months ago. He's been the lead singer of a band since 1977. When he first stepped out onto the stage with a punk band called Johnny and the Self-Abusers. Well, luckily, a few months later, they decided to change their names to the much nicer Simple Minds, and they've been performing more or less constantly since. So I had to start by asking him, does he still get excited and nervous when he's bringing out any new material?
Still get excited, of course. I mean, the thing is, we're so fortunate. If you'd asked us 40 years ago when we started it, what do we want out of it? I know we would have said to you, we want to be in a great live band and we want to write songs and take them around the world and play them, and here we are. We've written over 300 songs, but it's subjective, you just don't know. And when people get it, it feels great, you know, because especially if they actually get the thing that was in your head, you think, ah, great, it worked. But this one is it's getting such a positive reaction, and yeah, we do get nervous about it, but it feels great if people get it.
Whenever I was listening to this album, and you would 100%, as soon as you hear it, you would know that this is a Simple Minds track from a Simple Minds album. But as always, you've got a real mix of different kind of sounds in there as well. Some rock, some sort of synth pop, a wee bit sort of gospel sound almost in there as well. Those elements have always stayed true in your albums, haven't they?
Yeah. I mean, I'm incredibly lucky because of the people I've worked with and the people in Simple Minds, because they've had this range. It takes some talent to musically pull out that diversification and at the same time no lose identity. There's something about it that is still Simple Minds. But we were brought up with such a diverse range of music, and I think, you know, whenever we sit down to go to work, the people who influenced us way back in the day are still the people who influence us, and they're wide and varied.
One other thing I'm really looking forward to, I'm loving the album, but I'm extremely excited that you're coming back out on the road, because I caught you live, now I don't want to give away how old I am either, but it was maybe about 25, 30 years ago. It's not scary.
Good on you.
I probably will have a lot cleaner clothes on me this time, because I think I was backpacking somewhere and I caught you over in Europe.
Oh, did you?
Yes. This time, hopefully, I'll smell a lot sweeter whenever I go to catch you and go out to see you. But I've always thought of you as a live band since I saw you perform that time, because it was electric.
Well, thank you very much. And that's how it should be. It should feel like that. I mean, we in Glasgow at the time, we started going to see live bands at our local venue. We were so lucky. It was a period where the first half a dozen gigs we saw were people like David Bowie and Roxy Music and Bob Marley and The Who and Thin Lizzy. And I mean, just electric. And that's what we would want to be, in one of those bands that could create that thing. And the band laugh at me now, because I go, you know, just to calm the nerves or something, I say, listen, this is a piece of cake. Before we go on, people are here to have a great time. They've already decided they love us. Why would they spend money away? So there's only one thing we have to do, and they'll go, yeah, what is it? And I go, we have to be brilliant. And as long as we're brilliant, we'll be all right.
I was reading earlier today, you mentioned David Bowie there, and I was also reading about how you got to meet him in later years.
I tell you my David Bowie story, because it's funny, actually.
Yes,
there's a few, but we had a studio for a while in the mid-80s. We had this studio in the Scottish Highlands, and we loved it and all that. It wasn't a commercial thing, it was just ours. And anyway, at the time, we shared the same agent, live agent, as David Bowie, and the agent was called John Giddings. One of the guys around us, he wasn't in the band, but he's one of our gang, he did the best David Bowie impersonations. I mean, it was uncanny. Anyway, we're working one day in the studio, and you got to remember, this is back in the days before mobile phones and all that. So this engineer we work with, the greatest engineer, the dourest Scotsman you've ever met. We just loved him. Anyway, Dougie, I looked over and, you know, he made the gesture, phone. And I went, I'm working. And he went, it's Bowie. And I went, no. Because I thought it was Derek. And he went, no, Ken, it's Bowie. And I went, isn't he Bowie? And then I looked at it and I realised Dougie couldn't make a joke. He couldn't, you know. And I thought, he's serious. So I took the phone and right enough, oh, well, Jim and all that. And he said, anyway, this is what I'm calling you up about. He said, I'm about to go out on tour and we're playing in Italy. And the promoter there has offered us 20 dates and all that. I hear you work with this guy. And I said, yeah, we've worked with him, you know, for 10 years. He said, and I hear he's in the mafia. And I went, oh, no, he is in the mafia. And he went, really? And I said, yeah, but he's great. He's as good as his words. And because he's in the mafia, he's got tons of money. You'll be fine. And he went, well, have you never had any problem? I said, we've had less problems with him than the rest of them. And he went, well, if he's good enough for you, he's good enough for me. And not only did David work with him, years later, David got married in Italy. And lo and behold, is my pal, the mafia guy, there with David. So they obviously hit it off.
There, you bringing all the greats together from the good worlds and the bad worlds and everything in between as well.
There you go, yeah.
Does it feel strange, Jim? Do you ever feel weird that there's somebody somewhere, maybe he says, wait till I tell you my Jim Kerr story, the man who influenced me musically. Do you ever get your head around that? Or do you always in your head think yourself as like wee lad from Glasgow?
Well, we definitely are the wee lads from Glasgow, and that even, that makes us feel even better about ourselves, and because where did we get the chutzpah? I mean, we never knew anyone that was in a band that could, that was even attempting to write songs. There was no lessons. You couldn't go down the street and ask your pal's dad to give you a hand with the middle eight. Or there was no music college. There was no downloading of lessons how to do it from YouTube. There was no rock school. But to invent this thing, that's who we are. All I can say is that we've been influenced by so many, and we're still influenced by them. And if we in turn, you know, influenced others to pick up a guitar or write a song or something, then that's a great thing to be part of.